by four new clients, all the same sort of fascinating middle-aged women who wore expensive clothing and used aliases. The work itself did not change during the 7 years. She went on fitting her clients, and Cinnamon went on cleaning the office, keeping the books, and driving the Porsche. There was no progress, no retrogression, only the gradual aging of everyone involved. Nutmeg was nearing 50, and Cinnamon turned 20. Cinnamon seemed to enjoy his work, but Nutmeg was gradually overcome by a sense of powerlessness. Over the years, she went on fitting the something that each of her clients carried within. She never fully understood what it was that she did for them, but she continued to do her best. The somethings, meanwhile, were never cured. She could never make them go away. All that her curative powers could do was reduce their activity somewhat for a time. Within a few days, usually from 3 to 10 days, each something would start up again, advancing and retreating over the short span, but growing unmistakably larger over time, like cancer cells. Nutmeg could feel them growing in her hands. They would tell her, "You're wasting your time. No matter what you do, we are going to win in the end." And they were right. She had no hope of victory. All she could do was retard their progress to give her clients a few days of peace. Nutmeg would often ask herself, "Is it not just these women? Do all the women of the world carry this kind of something inside them? And why are the ones who come here all middle-aged women? Do I have a something inside me as well?" But Nutmeg did not really want to know the answers to her questions. All she could be sure of was that circumstances had somehow conspired to confine her to her fitting room. People needed her, and as long as they went on needing her, she could not get out. Sometimes her sense of powerlessness would be deep and terrible, and she would feel like an empty shell. She was being worn down, disappearing into a dark nothingness. At times like this, she would open herself to her quiet son, and Cinnamon would nod as he listened intently to his mother's words. He never said anything, but speaking to him like this enabled her to attain an odd kind of peace. She was not entirely alone, she felt, and not entirely powerless. "How strange," she thought. "I heal others, and Cinnamon heals me. But who heals Cinnamon? Is he like a black hole, absorbing all pain and loneliness by himself?" One time, and only that once, she tried to search inside him by placing her hand on his forehead, the way she did to her clients when she was fitting them. But she could feel nothing. Before long, Nutmeg felt that she wanted to leave her work.
"I don't have much strength left. If I keep this up, I will burn out completely. I'll have nothing left at all."
But people continued to have an intense need for her fitting. She could not bring herself to abandon her clients just to suit her own convenience. Nutmeg found a successor during the summer of that year. The moment she saw the mark on the cheek of the young man who was sitting in front of a building in Shinjuku, she knew. 18. A Stupid Tree Frog Daughter. May Kasahara's Point of View, 4.
"Hi again, Mr. Windupford. It's 2:30 in the morning. All my neighbors are sound asleep, but I can't sleep tonight, so I'm up writing this letter to you. To tell you the truth, sleepless nights are as unusual for me as sumo wrestlers who look good in berets. Usually, I just slip right into sleep when the time comes and slip right out when it's time to wake up. I do have an alarm clock, but I almost never use it. Every rare once in a while, though, this happens. I wake up in the middle of the night and can't get back to sleep. I'm planning to stay at my desk writing this letter to you until I get sleepy, so I don't know if this is going to be a long letter or a short one. Of course, I never really know that any time I write to you until I get to the end. Anyway, it seems to me that the way most people go on living, I suppose there are a few exceptions, they think that the world or life or whatever is this place where everything is, or it's supposed to be, basically logical and consistent. Talking with my neighbors here often makes me think that, like when something happens, whether it's a big event that affects the whole of society or something small and personal, people talk about it like, 'Oh, well, of course that happened because such and such.' And most of the time people will agree and say, 'Oh, sure, I see.'